Welcome to Gen Z Hoops, the Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Gen Z Hoops podcast. Today, I'm joined by senior at Hobart and William Smith Colleges of the 2023-2024 Liberty League champion, Hobart Statesman, Ryan Lucy. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain, you know. Get that test later, easy test, but we'll push through.
Yep.
So before we dive into your career a little bit, can you talk a little bit about your connection to the game of basketball?
I've been playing basketball since I was about 5 years old. I mean, it's been the main sport in my life since I was a little kid. I grew up playing AAU, grew up playing school ball from middle school to high school to now. So it's been a big part of my life for the most part.
Yeah, definitely. I know, like, since I met you, me and you have had these talks, like Celtics against the Heat, all these different things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get into, like, the matchups from this year, but was there ever a player that you wanted to model your game after at a young age? Mine was LeBron, but I don't think I'm LeBron or anything like that, but.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, first person that always comes to mind is Paul Pierce, just because I grew up watching him. Watching him win the title in 2008. So just watching him, the way that he could play inside and outside and also go like ISO from the wings when he wants to. So he was definitely a great player to emulate your game after, or my game after.
Yeah, I totally agree. Big versatile guard on the wing.
Yep.
I mean, like, we'll dive into it a little later, but you actually epitomized that role. I feel like you play like shooting guard all the way to the center position, and Paul Pierce can do that as well. So I think you succeeded in that.
These
in that
past realm. Few years, it's been Jason Tatum a little bit, but yeah, growing up, it was Paul Pierce.
Yeah, like the video I made for the team earlier in the fall, you said your player comp is Jason Tatum.
Yep.
All right, so getting into it a little bit. So you attended Fairport High School, where you were a three-year varsity letter winner, two-time team captain, two-time All-Greater Rochester selection, and named to the All-Monroe County Division I first team in 2020. When you reflect on these honors and your high school career, what comes to mind?
Pretty much what comes to mind is junior and senior year, for the most part. That's when I got most of my awards. That's when I was team captain both those years. My sophomore year was kind of a build-up year into those 2 years, so I definitely took over more of a leadership role my junior and senior year, especially my senior year. But yeah, looking back at Fairport, it was a great time. I felt like the man on that team for the most part, especially my senior year. So it was definitely a lot of good games. Looking back on against McQuaid, against Aquinas, teams like that. So looking back on it, it's all good memories. But tough loss at the end of my senior year. So that'll always render.
Yeah, more. I mean, it always is like hard to end your season on a tough loss. But look what we have here.
Yeah.
Again, we'll get into that. But that's, you ended on a high note, let's say that.
Exactly.
So what was your experience like during the recruiting process once your high school career was over, and what ultimately made you decide to attend Hobart William Smith Colleges?
Yeah, I didn't really start getting recruited by colleges until my senior year. It was mostly D3 colleges around here, like RIT, U of R, Fisher, Nazareth was on me pretty hard, but yeah, I reached out to Coach Steph, honestly, after I got a letter of recommendation from the school.
Right.
And I sent him a few videos of my tape, and after that, it was kind of history. He gave me a few tours of campus. I loved it. Talked to him and Coach Ben a few times. Loved them. So it's definitely an atmosphere and a place that I wanted to be at.
I remember, like, your last practice before the championship game against St. Lawrence, he told us this bizarre story of how, like, he was kind of like FaceTiming you, showing you around campus a little bit.
Yeah.
And you were like, because it was during that COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, oh man, coach, I already visited like last week. Like we drove through.
Yeah. So I'm fortunate enough to only live like 45 minutes away. So after I got the letter of recommendation and then coach started showing some interest to me, me and my family took the drive up to Hobart and looked around a little bit more than Coach Steph could show us on FaceTime. So.
Okay, so your freshman season at Hobart and William Smith was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. What was your experience like during this time?
It was pretty crappy, to be honest with you. Campus was very restricted for the most part. Couldn't have a whole lot of fun off campus. We obviously had our seniors that year. They had a senior house, so me and Matt got to go over there pretty much whenever we wanted. But yeah, it was a time where me and Matt Brand honestly became very close with one another because we were honestly sitting in a room together for 12 hours a day together, just doing work and playing video games together. So definitely tough to have the season canceled that year, especially losing a player like Dan Cook because of that. But yeah, it's a time of reflection, and it only built up for the next 3 years. So gave me a lot of practice time.
Was there ever like scheduled times for you to lift, and like did you guys like only certain amount of times per day that you guys can get in the gym? Like I know now we can just get in there whenever we want. Like of course we don't want to conflict with other practices, but like was there ever a time slot for basketball to be in the gym?
Yeah, we could honestly go into Bristol pretty much whenever we wanted for the most part, but the field house was very restricted. You had to sign up to go into the field house, you had to sign up to lift and stuff like that. Play basketball at Bristol was even kind of shaky sometimes. I usually just texted Coach Steph before I went to get the good to go, but yeah, it was definitely very restricted around campus.
Oh man, wow. I remember when I went to Salisbury, the boarding school of Connecticut, we used to have like this thing called athletic pods in a way. So it was just no contact. So there'd be like, in Bristol, there's like side rims too. So one person would be on every basket, and we'd have to like mask up all the way, and we'd just be doing shooting drills. We couldn't play live at all, really. So what was it like in team practices at all? Like, would you guys just do drills and skills? Like, I'm sure you couldn't scrimmage.
No, we couldn't. It was honestly small groups, like you said. It was we had designated times to like come in throughout the day where it was like four or five guys will work out together, and then the next four or five guys will come in after that. But yeah, the masks were the worst part, man. We had to come in and we'd come in wearing masks all the time.
At one point,
right? So yeah, it was terrible. They get sweaty after a while, and your chin would be all wet. So yeah, the masks were definitely the worst part of all.
I totally agree. So what was your transition like from the high school game to the college game? So take us through like the workout aspect of it, because your first year you really didn't have a season.
So it was just the physicality, to be honest with you. So I got here and we were able to play pickup a few times with the guys off campus. We actually went to a park a few times and played like full team pickups without anybody knowing until now, I guess. But yeah, we would go to a park and do like full team scrimmages and stuff. And after the first two pickup days, I was like, holy crud, I need to gain some weight and muscle. So Matt was also another person who helped me with that a lot. We would go to the gym for like 2 to 3 hours a day and lift, and he would help me with my protein intake and whatever else. So that was definitely a time where I gained like 15 to 20 pounds trying to keep up with the other bigs and the other guards on the team at that time.
That's kind of what I'm going through right now. Like I had the other day, I had a chunk on the block posting me up and I was like trying to use all my strength to like give him some like kind of some resistance to like guard him down there. But the second he like spun off, I couldn't do anything.
Chunk's a big dog. Yeah.
I couldn't do anything. But yeah, Matt, actually, I actually saw Matt in the weight room not too long ago before our break. And he was telling me kind of that story about how you and him used to like grind and lift in the weight room all the time. Cause he, I don't want to like put him on blast or anything. He said like, you were kind of like skinny and frail.
Oh no. Yeah, I was. I came in out of high school. I think I was obviously like 6'5", like 176 or 172 or something like that, man. I was definitely pretty, it's definitely pretty frail.
And then he said you kept, then you just like stuck with it and kept going after a while. And then you were able to like take the hits, and now we saw you playing center this year, so I guess it definitely paid off.
Yeah.
So heading into the 2021-2022 season, which was your rookie year basically, what was your mentality going into that year?
Pretty much just to try and get playing time, honestly. There was a lot of other shooting guards / like small forwards on our team that year, like Pat Walker and Moose.
Right.
Andrew Lynch, Hunter Jameson, like they were all pretty much guys that were seniors that or juniors that year, but they were all, you know, had playing time on the team that had the Sweet 16 run. So they were all guys that were ahead of me. So it was honestly just doing everything I could, bust my butt and do everything I could to get on that court and get some playing time.
Yeah, I totally agree. So many don't know this, but we don't call you Ryan at all. Your nickname is Goose in the locker room to us. We always call you Goose. What are the origins of that nickname?
Yeah, so Everybody thinks it's because it like rhymes with my last name, but my freshman year, we came in and they had like this rule where everybody had to have a nickname, and it kind of just like came along at any certain point. So my roster picture actually came out, and my neck looked super long in my roster picture, so they started calling me Gooseneck after a while. So after my freshman year, it kind of wore off a little bit, and people just started calling me Goose after that. But that's originally where it came from.
I remember my first like. My first day of pickup, like when I first met you, we actually played in here that day, I'm pretty sure. And I called you Ryan. I said, "What's up, Ryan?"
Yeah.
And then Matt was like, "No, it's Goose. Call him Goose." I'm like, yeah. "I'm like, okay." Like me being the new guy, I didn't want to mess anything up, so I just went with it.
Yeah, Alex Mesh is actually like the only person who calls me Ryan, I think, like on a consistent basis. He's like the only person though.
Do you prefer Ryan or is it fine?
No, I actually prefer Goose at this point, I think. I'm not too sure though.
A couple of my friends, like in the freshman dorm, Cheryl, they actually, I talk about you guys a lot because like you guys are like my big brothers on campus. So I'm like, yeah, me and Goose did this. And then like my friend Liv was actually like, oh, Mr. Goose.
I think I've had some of your friends come up to me over the weekend.
They call you Mr. Goose.
They call Mr. Goose, yeah. It's pretty funny actually.
So as we both know, Coach Steph's offense is a system here at Hobart. Mm-hmm. Like everyone eats, everyone has a certain role. What was it like to adapt your style of play and buy into the system?
It didn't really take a whole lot, to be honest. I came from a system under Coach Fitch at Fairport where it was practically the same thing, like a defense-oriented team. Obviously have a lot of players on offense and stuff like that, but I feel like I was coming into a team where we had so many offensive weapons, like offense would take care of itself, and it was really just the defensive side of the court that I had to worry about the most.
I know we were actually talking about this last night when I came over to watch the NCAA games last night, and you were talking about how like the offense changes every year based on the personnel. How did you adapt to like the changes in the offense? Because like, you know, like same as like the NBA, like college basketball, you don't know who's going to be on the roster like every year. Like you're not going to have the same roster most years. Mm-hmm. So what was your experience with that?
I would say junior and senior year was definitely very different, like comparing this year and last year. I feel like last year we were very Moose oriented. Like we would go through our offenses, and if stuff broke down, we'd find Moose in the post, or we'd find him somewhere at the top of the key, and he'd go to work just because he was that talented of a player, to be honest with you. And then this year, obviously Moose is gone now, he's playing overseas, but this year was very like five-man offense oriented. Our main offense was Statesman, which was pretty much just like pass and screen away or pass and cut, which is like
the motion offense.
The same thing you learned in second grade. But I would say this year was obviously a lot more fun because I got to touch the ball a little bit more. Yeah, I feel like this the way that we played this year created a lot more chemistry on the court and just got a lot more guys going on the court at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Like, yeah.
Get so, a few guys scoring at the same time.
Yeah, it was more like, again, like this was like from what I saw last year, because I came to watch you guys play a little bit. This was like a more like, I want to say, guard-oriented team. It was more like five out, more run and gun, less like walking the ball up, let's get into a set. More like if the defense got back and recovered, then I see you guys like get into a set, like 76ers, Knicks, plays like that. And just going back to the point where Jackson Mechanic, obviously was player of the year last year, and now he's playing overseas. I actually recall seeing him catch the ball like the pinch post over there, then face up when like the play actually broke down. But you actually like took on that role as well. I recall against late in the playoffs, I can't remember who we played first before we played St. Lawrence in the second round, but
RIT,
RIT, there we go. Yeah, you caught the ball there many times at the pinch post, faced up and got to the rim and ended up getting fouled. So you did take on that role, I think.
Yeah, I'd like to say certain aspects. There are definitely some film that I've watched where I think I could go to work in the post a little bit this year. That was definitely part of my game where I feel like I grew a lot this year, and just like the mid post and block area is definitely something that I grew in, just because kind of forced to play in the center position. This team, I didn't really need to do a whole lot of scoring, to be honest with you. There was obviously some games where like scoring came, but at the end of the day, if I could do everything to get every offensive and defensive board and play defense to my greatest ability, then I can let guys like Aiden and Pat and Isaiah and Carter and Hunter and all those other guys do the scoring for me. So,
yeah, I totally agree. So, I know we talked about the offense, but Hobart basketball is also built off of its pillars: pride, respect, bigger than basketball, and unity. What do those pillars mean to you?
I mean, I've pretty much based my entire life around those for the past 4 years, so they definitely mean a lot. Yeah, I would say it's something that everybody should buy into, if I'm going to be honest with you. Just at least, maybe not these exact words, but just find five things that you find most important in life, right, or just like five characteristics that you find most important in life, and try and put those into everything in your life. Because even going through like the job interview process and stuff right now, like I'm using those five pillars to my advantage, talking about those with employers and stuff like that, and they find it very impressive. So it's definitely something that has helped me over these past 4 years, and it's definitely something that will keep helping me throughout the rest of my life.
What I realized a lot about this program, I know I wasn't able to like share the court with you this year, but just being a part of the program, like the bigger than basketball aspect really like spoke a lot to me, especially during alumni weekend. Cause like that's basketball is like something that connects all of us together.
Yep.
But like coach would always have us like call in alums. Then all the alums came down for the alumni game. And then we hung out with them all night and all weekend, just kind of getting to know them, networking a little bit. Like it kind of shows like, yeah, this is something that's going to like connect us, but like, it's up to us at the end of the day to like build that connection and pave it forward way more.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, the alumni connection here is awesome. I mean, alumni weekend is a blast. I love, especially these past few years, like the alums have been coming back. We've had great showings these past 3 years. So it's been a lot of fun to see everybody and I do the same. Network as much as possible that weekend because there's some successful guys that come by. So
shout out Evan Goldberg.
Shout out E, yeah.
Yeah, I remember alumni weekend we played SLU St. Lawrence, like our biggest rival.
Yeah,
a couple of coaches telling us, a couple of guys were saying like, man, I never beat St. Lawrence. Like, how much, like, you can see it in his eyes, like he really wanted to win that game. And me not knowing that much, because like I'm coming in new, like I don't really know about like all the history. I see like you, Aiden, Pat, Carter, like you guys are all getting like worked up before this. I'm like, dang, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with these guys? Yeah. They're not like joking and messing around today. Yeah. But then we ended up, you guys ended up going out there and like shutting them out early in the game.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about like the atmosphere of that you felt from all the alums and like the gym on senior night?
Yeah. That was a great game.
Not senior night, sorry.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That weekend was awesome, honestly. Especially playing SLU that weekend was just like to make it more special. So, and I think we held them to like what, like 56 points or something like that, 57 points.
No one can shoot in Bristol for some reason.
So yeah, that was definitely a great game, great weekend, great way to go 2-0, especially on alumni weekend. So, the atmosphere though. I mean, yeah, it's all just a build-up from last year. SLU obviously beat us last year in the semis.
Yeah.
So we definitely had a chip on our shoulder going into each game that we played them this year.
Most definitely. So let's take it back to your rookie year. You got the opportunity to play in the playoffs that year. What was that experience like for the first time? Like, not many get to play in like the playoffs of their first year in college basketball.
Right.
What did you learn most about playoff basketball, and how did that help you in your career later on?
What I learned most is that every possession matters. It's actually pretty crazy coming down the stretch of the game. Obviously, like maybe some people have seen the video. I think it was on ESPN, but the Vassar kid threw it full court, caught it, and hit like a fadeaway on the right wing and banked it in for three to end our season that year. But yeah, honestly, that season didn't go too well for us. I think we were around like the 500 range that year. Just snuck into the playoffs, and honestly almost snuck out a win against Vassar. So
who ended up winning the championship that year, the Liberty League championship? I'm pretty sure
Vassar did.
Yeah
So that would have been crazy if we ended up winning that game, but looking back on it, playoff basketball was the question. All right, so playoff basketball, it's much more intense for the most part. Going from like the first 10 games, which is usually like out of conference, those games are usually pretty intense.
Right.
Just because everybody wants to get a high ranking in the in the state and whatever else. But other than that, the league games leading up to that, I wouldn't say aren't as intense, but you can definitely sense that it's playoff basketball and people know that like their season is on the line.
Yep.
Especially like with seniors on the bench, it's you wanna try and win for your seniors so that their season or their career isn't over. So it's definitely much more intense, more physical.
I totally agree. So in your second year, the 2022-2023 season, you returned to the playoffs as the third seed and lost to the rival St. Lawrence in the semis. How did that loss motivate you heading into that off season? And was there any sort of chip on your shoulder? I know you just mentioned this sort of chip on your shoulder, mm-hmm. but talk about like the chip on your shoulder going into your senior year in that off season.
Yeah, so I pretty much went into the off season with the mindset of outwork everybody else in the Liberty League. So I would go into a workout each day or twice a day and be like, you know, are the McCauley twins doing this today? Or like, are they, or is anybody else doing this today? So, I was definitely thinking about it pretty much all summer. Worked hard, made some money, which, kind of took my mind off of basketball a little bit, but, yeah, definitely.
It's a good distraction.
yeah, definitely. But, yeah, it definitely created a sense of like anger slash just like wanting redemption, for sure. So, I feel like this year we came in, a lot of people counted us out. I think my dad even told me at the beginning of the year, he was like, whoever the board is, the board of the NCAA, they had us at like 9-16 to end the season this year.
No way.
Yeah. So, that was definitely a, wake up call for them.
It's another motivation factor right there.
Exactly. Yeah. So, especially after we squeaked out a few wins in the beginning of the year. So after we got to like 6 or 7-0, I was like, holy crap, like this could be something special. And then we ended up winning a few more games, got to 10-0. And then, yeah, it was pretty crazy. After the new year, we hit a little bump, but it happens.
Yeah, it happens. That's growing pains of every team.
Yeah.
You know? And no team is perfect. Can't go undefeated forever. As long as you end with one of these, that's all that is.
Yeah, yeah. Sir. That's the main goal, honestly.
Yeah, I remember like when I first came here, I followed you on Instagram. When I first got your Instagram, I saw like the photo from last year. It was like your photo dump and you're like, we'll be back. So I was like, I knew something was up. I was like, oh man, what happened? But yeah.
That was a tough one. Yeah. Especially at St. Lawrence. It's a tough gym to play at. So
yeah, I heard they were like making posters of you guys, riding.
They had a pretty fun one. They had a pretty funny one of Aiden, actually.
Really?
Yeah, they had a big they had a big fat head of Aiden actually in the student section.
And they're letting Juice hear it.
yep. Everybody lets Juice hear it for some reason. Yeah.
So your senior year, let's take it to present day now.
Gotcha.
Your senior year, you took on much more of a leadership role. You were a captain. Can you talk a little bit about the responsibilities that came with being the captain for this program?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a blessing and honor to be named captain of this team, especially after everything that we did this year, the historic season that we had. But yeah, honestly, me, Matt, and Isaiah, we pretty much tried to do our best to create like an open and comfortable atmosphere for everybody. We honestly wanted everybody to feel comfortable talking, everybody to feel comfortable saying their are using their voice for the most part. Obviously some guys don't feel as comfortable or whatever else, but we wanted to make it as comfortable of an atmosphere as possible for everybody to feel comfortable to do or say whatever they wanted at any point. So I feel like we did a pretty good job with that. And it obviously translated with our chemistry on the court and off the court. So
yeah, totally. We actually had one of those Dr. Man discussions the other day and all the guys were talking about how we had three captains, you, Zay, and Matt, but it was like everyone also like rose their leadership like rolling a little bit like to match you guys. So it's like everyone was pretty vocal. I saw guys like Neeks is a pretty vocal guy. We see Neeks talking a lot. Pat stepping up to the plate, Aiden stepping up.
Definitely.
Like kind of match you guys with that vocality and like leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, I know we mentioned before, you were the starting center, standing at 6'6". So ever since high school, I've realized, like, you've prided your game on versatility, playing positions from the shooting guard spot with the two all the way to the five, the center position. So this season, what were there any troubles that you faced with being an undersized center in this league?
I wouldn't say troubles at all. I would definitely say it was a challenge. But going against guys that were taller slash more weight than I was. But for the most part, I think I hung in there for the most part. I think it worked out in our advantage because I think we can beat people down the court when we have such a small lineup on the court. The small ball lineup definitely worked for us for the most part, but it was definitely post defense that was the most challenging part for some games, definitely going up against.
That's why you implemented like the dig factor. Like you guys would start digging into the paint and then get back out and close out.
Yeah. And that was also one of the aspects of this team this year is that we were super prepared for every game. We got great scouts and we always knew who to dig off of, like non-shooters. We always knew who the shooters were, who could not shoot, who was kind of iffy with their shots. So we knew who to dig off of and they knew when to help me. So it's definitely good defense.
I don't mean to go off on a tangent here, but how are you not a Heat fan? the motivation factor, like Jimmy Butler saying, like, we don't care what none of y'all think. Being an undersized, playing small ball. Like, how are you not a Heat fan?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had to mention that. But let's get back to it. So this year we were able to secure the number one seed in the Liberty League and ended the season undefeated at home. You talk about the mentality of everyone in the locker room going through the entire season that led to the success on the court.
Yeah. I feel like it was just our chemistry overall. I feel like we had a great chemistry this year. Everybody was really close with one another. So that was definitely something that went into our success for sure this year. And honestly, once we got to like, eight or nine home games in a win, in a row, I was like, holy crap, we could actually go the whole season without losing a home game. So we obviously did it in the regular season and then won the two in the playoffs to win this bad boy. But
We'll get to it.
It was definitely a different mindset, I would guess you would say, once I noticed that we were 8 or 9-0 at home. Every home game, it was kind of protect this house and don't lose at Bristol.
Kind of that sort of confidence, like if you're gonna come in here and beat us, you gotta like outwork us, you gotta outplay us, you gotta win the full battle. Like we're not gonna beat ourselves, basically.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you already said it before, and nobody can shoot in Bristol for some reason. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the depth.
We don't have trouble with it because we shoot over here every day. But I know we would always have like these conversations like. I don't know if it's the depth perception, rims.
I don't know what it is, but
it works. Thank God, it works in our advantage.
It works in our favor. Yeah.
I'll leave it as that. So we talked about that Instagram post. We'll be back. You got what you wanted on February 25th. Hobart hosted the Liberty League Championship in Bristol Gym against none other than St. Lawrence. So leading up to this game, what were your emotions like, and what was going through your mind knowing that this would be your last game in Bristol?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't really think about it as it being my last game in Bristol. I kind of just wanted to win it. And then afterward, it kind of hit that it was my last game in Bristol and, you know, the emotions kind of set in or whatever else. But I was definitely very, very grateful to come out with that win and especially it being at Bristol instead of it being at St. Lawrence or RPI or whoever those other two seeds were, 2 and 3. But, it was, oh my God, it was awesome. The atmosphere, the fans, the place was rocking. So
football guys.
It was, the football guys showed up, man. Yeah, that was the most fans I've ever seen in Bristol Gym. So that was, it was definitely cool.
Yeah, it was very, from what I recall, it was a very physical game from start to finish. I remember you were in transition on a fast break and attempted to take off from the dotted line and dunk on one of the St. Lawrence players. You ended up in that game injuring your shoulder.
Yep.
Or like re-injuring your shoulder, let's say, because it was messed up like early in the year, I remember. So how were you able to push through this and help lead your team to the championship?
I went up for that shot. We can call it a – I probably should have tried to dunk it, but I guess you could say it was a layup. But yeah, I came down hard on my right shoulder. I didn't find out until after the game that I actually separated my shoulder. But yeah, that was the first time I've ever actually like felt pain in a game, because usually just like the adrenaline takes over, you can't feel anything. But yeah, that was one that definitely hurt a little bit. Pushing through it though, it wasn't hard. I mean, at the end of the day, I probably would have gotten my arm cut off and still would have went out on the court and played to win a championship. So there was really nothing that was taking me off the court at that time. So pushing through, it was really just pushing through and doing everything I could to, like I said, get every rebound, play defense to the best of my ability, because I wasn't really able to shoot at that time. But yeah.
I remember one of the practices where you had to sit out because before the championship, you had to like rest your shoulder a little bit.
Yeah.
Or I think it was before NCAAs. I forget which it was, but yeah. I remember trainer Steph was like yelling at you to sit down, to stop like dribbling the ball, like you just wanted to get in and go. Like,
yeah.
So
I've gone my entire career without any serious injuries for the most part, other than like ankles and whatever else. But that was actually the first missed practice I've had in my entire career, just leading up to the NCAA tournament game. So that was definitely something that I wasn't used to. So trainer Steph had to get me acclimated all of it.
What did it feel like to cut down the nets in Bristol and secure Hobart's bid into the NCAA tournament?
I mean, yeah, it's something I've dreamed of since my senior year of high school, because I definitely thought it was realistic that year that we could maybe cut the nets down that year, but we took a tough loss. So it was definitely something that I've been dreaming about for the past 4 years, and to be able to do it in front of our fans and on Bristol court is, you know, it just makes the dream even more special. So.
Yeah, totally. I remember at the senior banquet when you gave your speech, you were talking about a little bit about like, oh man, I've dreamt about this moment since I was like really young, mm-hmm. and now it's like finally coming true. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I actually talked to like previous guests on the show, and they all talk about like this full circle type of moment. Did you ever have that type of moment in that around that time?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I didn't have it actually until like a few days after. I had a conversation with Matt actually, and we were kind of just like, holy crap, like it's over and blah, blah, blah. And then that night it kind of hit a little bit. But yeah, you grow up, you watch the March Madness tournament, you watch them cut down the nets at the after show. So it's definitely something I've seen my entire life, and I've been playing basketball my entire life. So to be able to do it in my last season is pretty freaking cool.
So heading into your final game in the first round of the NCAA tournament against the defending champion, Christopher Newport, what did it feel like to play in an NCAA tournament game?
Yeah, it's all about experience at the end of the day. Christopher Newport had much more experience than we did, especially winning the championship last year. They came into the game and they kind of knew how the refs would call the game. They played much more physical than we did. And yeah, for the most part, that was pretty much it, was the physicality. They kind of knew what the refs would call, what they wouldn't call. It's much more different than the Liberty League for sure. But yeah, they were obviously bigger. Their centers and power forward that came in the game, they were pretty dominant people. I think he ended up scoring 22 plus points on us that game. So it's definitely a tough one. I wouldn't say going into the game I would change anything. It's really just having experience at the end of the day and knowing how the refs call the game and knowing how the physicality and how to play at those courts. So
I remember in our meeting the other day, actually, Alex was talking about Alex Mesh. He's shooting the lights out all year in the Liberty League, and to get to the NCAA tournament, he said he's never been pressured like that in his life. Like, all like the guard that was guarding him was up in his jersey the whole game. Like, everywhere he went, like running him off the line. So like hearing that from Alex, it's really hard to pressure a guy like that. Like, I can kind of get a sense of like how physical that team actually was.
Yeah, they definitely scouted him very well. They knew they pretty much knew overall that when Alex scores, we pretty much win most games and he scores. So
yeah,
they definitely scouted that very well.
So this year, you finished your career along fellow senior captains Isaiah Washington and Matt Brand. I know we talked about them a little bit before. Can you go into more detail about your relationships with these guys and how it feels to end off your careers together with the Liberty League championship?
I went into it a little bit earlier, but Isaiah didn't come in until our sophomore year. He transferred in from Rutgers, but ever since Zay came in, he's been like a freaking brother to us. He came in right away and had like this most like loving and awesome personality you could like ever expect out of a person. And then he came in and walked on. He walked on the team. He came in right away. It was a dog, pretty much. He just worked his ass off. And then honestly, he actually started playing over me my sophomore year, I'm pretty sure, at towards the end of the year. So he came in with the fire under his butt, and he definitely showed it. So he and then Matt, I already went into it a little bit earlier. He's definitely my best friend. Been with him since freshman year. Obviously, COVID brought us together, super close with one another, but ever since then we've been living with each other every year, so he's definitely a brother to me and a brother for life for sure.
Shout out Odell's, man.
Shout out Odell's. Yeah, Odell's. For sure.
All right, so the moment I've been waiting for, actually. So what's next for you now that your career at Hobart is over? Will we see a fifth year? I know I've been on you since I got here. Come back, do a fifth year, one more year. Yeah. We'll go back to back. I'll be on the court next year, hopefully with you.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. No, but I need to get out of here, man. as much as I love basketball, and as much as I would actually love to come back, I feel like some guys on the team need their spotlight for the most part. And me coming back would kind of take that away from them. And it's not even just that. I definitely just want to start my life for the most part. I want to start making money. I want to start, you know, I got a girlfriend, so she wants to start her life a little bit. So yeah, I definitely got to get out of college. Graduate for the most part. So
well, nice. Well, before we end this, I got you a little post-season pre-graduation present here. I had it for a minute, but like finally we got to do it.
Hoop swag. Oh no shit. Oh, these are hilarious.
The goose socks right there.
You guys see these? Wow, these are hilarious, dude. I'm gonna wear these next time I hoop.
Yes, sir.
I love it, man.
Man, I appreciate you. Thank you so much, man. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.